What's the time looking like there?
36.
Oh, great. In last minute, just, yeah. In last minute jitters. And no service tonight, guys. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday morning service here at Calvary Baptist Church of Powder Springs. And I want to just start off by saying Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. We're so thankful for you and the jobs that you do day in and day out. Mothers are the unsung heroes, and we're so appreciative of you. We'll say a few more things about that in just a moment, but we do want to say welcome. Happy Mother's Day, and we'll give a few moments for those to log on and join us on Facebook Live. It's a really, really nice day today, a beautiful day outside. The sun is shining. We appreciate that from the good Lord. But this morning in God's house and in your living room, the sun is shining, and God's Son, Jesus Christ, who gave His life, His righteous life, for the likes of you and I who were very unrighteous. And so we're thankful for that this morning. I want to mention just a few things by way of introduction of the service this morning. Bring a few updates and a couple praises to you in your living room. And then we will get into the sermon in just a moment. We got a prayer praise yesterday. We heard from Brother Joe Vandiver. We've been praying for his sister-in-law, I believe it is, his sister-in-law, Charlotte, for a good while now. And Brother Joe, we were together for a small amount of time yesterday. There was our Sunday school class. Brother Allen and CJ had a community outreach. And we were there, and he put the phone on speakerphone, and Miss Charlotte had said that the doctors ran a light down her throat and checked on the cancer, and the cancer was gone. And so we praise the Lord. We praise the Lord for our God being the great healer that He is. He's the miracle worker. He's the healer. He's just a great God. And so this morning, Brother Joe, Sister Lynn, Miss Charlotte, if you're even watching, we praise the Lord for God touching you. In healing your cancer. Also, I'd like to say this morning that Brother Ed Sanvey, he's going to be going on Thursday. That's this coming up Thursday for a EEG. Miss Marianne had said that he possibly has been having seizures. And so, Miss Marianne, Brother Ed, we love you. We're praying for you this coming up Thursday. We're praying for God's best during that EEG and your doctor's visit. I want to back up and say as well and leave another prayer request. Many of you know, but on Tuesday, Jamie Dickerson, this is the father of Miss Lauren, Lauren Hancock, and he's going on Tuesday for a procedure. And he asked a prayer for that, and so we contacted him and told him that my family and Calvary Baptist Church would be praying for him. So, Brother Jamie, we're praying for you this coming up Tuesday and your procedure, your doctor's visit, and you can count on us to intercede for you there. Also, many of you know, I'm sure, have received our calling post that concerning Miss Barbara Ann Hodgins. Miss Barbara Ann Hodgins went home to be with the Lord this past week. I believe it was early Friday morning, around 1 a.m., May the 8th. She breathed her last. And this morning, she's completely healed. Church, she is in the presence of Jehovah. And there's no telling what she's doing this morning. But I do want to say that she passed on early Friday morning, 1 a.m. Also left a message on our call-in post concerning her funeral service. This service is to her family only. The funeral home is abiding by strict CDC guidelines, and so all of us are very respectable of that. I do encourage the church to support her in your prayers during this time, Miss Barbara Anderson. Also, an occasional phone call maybe, and even drop a card in the mail. That would be a great way to support during this time, seeing that only 10 people of the family can be at this funeral. And the funeral is tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the West Cobb Funeral Home and graveside at Cheatham Hill over in Marietta. Again, there's many, many requests. We can continue on this morning, but we just want to take the time to say thank you for helping us pray for our folks here at Calvary. Thank you, Calvary, for praying for Calvary. Let's continue to pray for one another, lift one another up, and the Lord will continue what He's doing behind the scenes. Again, happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. We want to say we love you. I want to say to my wife, thank you for being my wife, sometimes my mother, and God knows I need that, so we praise the Lord for that. You may be viewing you may see the flowers in front of the pulpit. Those are in light of Mother's Day to all the mothers here at Calvary. And let me just say this, and we'll pray, that when we do get back together in church, we're going to set aside some time to honor our mothers in person. We have ordered a special gift for all the mothers, and because of the current situation, obviously we're not able to be together today. But know that when we do meet back together, we'll have a certain set of a time set aside specifically for our mothers here at Calvary, and you'll receive a gift. So thank you, mothers, for everything you do. Thank you for who you are. And this morning I want to go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And I trust that you'll be praying for us in the message. We're going solo this morning. Brother David is actually going to see a mother figure in his life. And Brother Randy's away as well. But you pray for us this morning. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, we just take a moment and slow things down a bit. Have the tendency, Lord, of getting behind the pulpit and everything coming out, and then things are over, and then before we know it, on our way to the house. But Lord, we don't want to rush this morning. Father, we want to just take our time this morning and say thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for sending your only Son, your only begotten Son, Father, to die upon a cross for the likes of all humanity, to give us purpose and to give us peace, to give us that assurance that we're not in life alone, but we have someone with us to help share our heavy loads. We're thankful for that, the gift of salvation. But this morning, Lord, I want to say thank you to every mother. I want to say that I love my mother. My mother is with you, Lord, But Father, I love her, and I want to say thank you, Mom, for everything that you did for us while you were here on earth. I still have lessons that are instilled in me from my upbringing, and I'm thankful for that. And Father, we just thank you for the role of the wife, the role of the mother in the home. And we're reminded that the husband is the head of the home, the wife is the heart of the home, and the children are the hope of the home. We're thankful for the Christian home. Lord, this morning we give you thanks for those who you have touched and healed. Charlotte, Lord, and her cancer. Father, there are others who are awaiting their medical doctor visit to go have surgery, to have their scans again. We just pray for them that you would be with them in a very mighty way. And Father, we pray for Miss Barbara Anderson this morning. No doubt she is in a place where she was once before when she buried her husband, and now Miss Barbara Ann. Lord, you say that you are our shepherd and you're the good shepherd. We know that you will lead her and guide her. As David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. So, Lord, we pray that you would shepherd Miss Barbara Anderson today, tomorrow, and in the future. Lord, we're thankful for grace. We're thankful for Calvary Baptist Church. Bless each and every aspect of this church, this ministry, today and days ahead, Lord. And Father, we'll be careful to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter number 21. Genesis chapter number 21. Book of Genesis chapter number 21. And as you're turning to Genesis 21, in just a few moments, we'll read from verse number 1 and 2. But have you ever thought about the great matriarchs of the Bible that were mothers? In the Bible, there are women of faith, there are wives and mothers, and a couple days ago, I just got to thinking about how their names are highly esteemed and how they are matriarchs. They are leaders of the faith as women. And as I began to think about this, I thought about Sarah in the Old Testament. I thought about Rebecca. I thought about Hannah. I thought about Elizabeth. And then Mary, thought about Lois and Eunice. There are many, many ladies, women of faith in the Bible that are esteemed highly. They are matriarchs in the faith. They are wives and their mothers. But I think sometimes as we think about these wives, these mothers, these matriarchs in the faith, and how highly esteemed they are, I think sometimes we forget the process that led them there. There's a process that led Sarah to get to where she was. There was a process that took place in Rebecca's life that got her to such esteem. Hannah, there was a process. Elizabeth, Mary, Lois and Eunice, which was Timothy's mother and grandmother. We think about these women and we think about how their names are mentioned and they're highly esteemed and they're matriarchs of the Bible. They're women of faith. But I think sometimes, especially me, when I get to thinking about these women of faith, I forget about that process. The process. So you see, being a godly mother this morning leads me to say that being a godly mother is a direction that a woman heads in. And over time and through certain processes of life, they mature and they grow into being a godly mother. Just like being a godly person, it's a direction to head in. When I first got saved, November 19th, 2002, God saved me and He changed my life. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 is one of my life verses. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But you see, about 17 years has passed from then to now. And I like to think that I'm a little more mature spiritually now than I was 17 years ago when I first got saved. You see, when a person gets saved, they positionally, their relationship with God the Father is made right, and that never changes. Their position is that they're a child of God based upon the righteousness of Jesus. But then there is the process of becoming like Jesus. And this process takes time. And so when I think about the mothers of the Bible, and I think about wives of the Bible, and I think about today being Mother's Day, I can't help to not think about the subject of the making of a godly mother. The making of a godly mother. And so this morning, by the help of the Lord, I want to share a few things. And I want to look into the lives of a few of these mothers. And I just want to point out and pick out one element that they contended with that was their process that got them to the place of being a godly mother. The making of a godly mother. Again, let me just say, church, that godliness is a direction. Now, positionally, again, we are as godly as we're ever going to be through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. His righteousness was imputed on our account. It was deposited unto us. We are righteous. We're going to heaven, those that are saved, positionally. But in a very practical way, on a day-to-day basis, holiness and godliness is a direction. And so the making of a godly mother. How did Sarah get there? How did Rebecca get there? Hannah, Elizabeth, Mary, Lois, Eunice, and many other women in the Bible, how did they get to be a godly mother? And you see, this can apply to dads. This can apply to just the Christian individual. How do we get to that place of godliness? Well, again, I want to just mention a few things. The making of a godly mother. I want to mention a few characteristics. One per lady. And I'm not going to share all of these ladies. But number one, I want to look at Sarah. Sarah. What was her process to maturity? I want to say that Sarah's process to maturity was and is, or was in her day, has to do with the word patience. Patience. Sarah in the Bible was going through a process of patience. Now, if you notice in Genesis 21 and verse 1, we see the ultimate product. The Bible says in Genesis 21 verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. I want to say, first of all, that we see Sarah as this godly mother. She's this matriarch of the faith. But you see, the process by which she got there was the element of patience. Now, she finally had the promised seed, Isaac. And Sarah was actually 91 years old when she had Isaac. If you go back and look in chapter number 17 for a moment, in verse 17, the Bible says, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And so we have here an account of their age in Genesis 17:17. Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. Verse number 19, and God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Now look at verse 21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And we get to Genesis 21 in verse number 2. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which had God had spoken to him. And so if Sarah was 90 the next year, that would make her 91. And Abraham perhaps 101. But we do see that this promised seed came. And Sarah being this, in fact, the name Sarah means princess. Her name was Sarai, but God changed her name to Sarah. And Sarah means princess. And you see, the question this morning is, how did Sarah become a princess? I'll tell you how. Because it involved a tremendous amount of patience. A lot of people want to wear a crown today, but they don't want to bear the thorns. A lot of people want to wear robes of righteousness and royalty, but they don't want to pay the price that it takes to get there. I want to say that Sarah here, she at the age of 91 bore Isaac. And you see, patience was involved. 91 years old. Saying that earlier in the life of Sarah, she had a one-on-one confrontation, a one-on-one experience that taught her patience the hard way. In fact, Sarah was an impatient person in the beginning. She was barren. Abraham, the great patriarch of the faith, was promised this seed. And so she was barren. She wanted this seed. She wanted this child. And in fact, she grew impatient. Notice, if you would, in Genesis chapter number 15, or 16 actually. Now this is after Genesis 15, where God had coveted with Abraham and laid out the blood sacrifice and all the pieces, and God allowed a deep sleep to fall upon Abraham. God coveted with himself, meaning that his covenant is unconditional. That God was going to bless Abraham, not because of Abraham in his performance, but because of who God is in his righteousness. And so we see that in chapter number 15. There was this promise to Abraham. But I want you to notice in chapter number 16. In verse number 1, the Bible says, now Sarah, or Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go unto my handmaid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. We won't comment there. We'll keep moving. In verse number 3, and Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And so we see that Sarah actually gave over this handmaid to be his wife, to bear this son. In verse number 4, and he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. When she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. I want to say this morning, church, that we have a picture of someone getting ahead of God. This is Sarah. This is the woman that is the wife of Abraham. Abraham was given a promise, but you see, because this promise did not come in the allotted time that Sarah felt, then she went to plan B. She moved from waiting on God and Him fulfilling His good word unto her and Abraham to getting ahead of God. You see, notice again in verse number 2. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, look at this. Now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. And so Sarah is trying to make things happen. I think, church, this morning that the best sense to make out of this is that it wasn't God's timing yet. God restrained her from bearing this son. And I want to say that in life, at times, we have to be careful. We have to be careful when it comes to making decisions and following the Lord's leadership, not to get ahead of the Lord. And we must be patient. You see, God is in the business of making us to look like His Son spiritually. We're saved, and those of us that are saved, we're ultimately righteous. But to be godly requires patience. And you see, in this story, we have Sarah. She's on her way to godliness, of being this great matriarch of the faith. But you see, she dealt with impatience first. And because she was impatient, she got ahead of God. And now we have Ishmael. You know the story. Abraham went in to Hagar and they conceived. Sarah dealt hardly with Hagar. Hagar was the handmaid, but once Sarah saw that they had a baby and she was assuming this wifey role, it made Sarah mad, so she drove Hagar away. Hagar wept and hid for a time. And then, in the meantime, Sarah had to deal with this situation. No doubt it wasn't from God. No doubt she got ahead of God. And in fact, if you read when it comes to Ishmael and what kind of job he would have and how he would act, in verse number 12 of chapter 16, notice what it says. And this is the angel of the Lord talking. Look at verse 11, then 12, talking with Hagar while she was hiding in the wilderness. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And so God is telling Hagar that you're going to have a son through this experience, but he's going to be a wild man. He's going to be against man and God's people. And friend, I want to say that even to this day, there is battle in the Middle East over this decision of not waiting on God and getting ahead of God. It was Sarah. She indeed was on her way to matriarchhood, but she had an experience with being impatient. Because of that, even today, it's a ripple effect. We're still feeling the effects of that decision. Let me just say that anytime any of us make decisions in life, there's consequences, and no man lives and dies to himself. We always need to remember that when it comes to the area of patience and waiting on God. And listen, there may be someone watching this morning and there is a legitimate need in your life. There is a situation in your life where you need a job, you need a car, you would like to have your own place one day, or there may be marital struggles, parental struggles, there may be some kind of struggle, there just something going on where you need the Lord to intervene. Can I say, child of God, be patient. Be patient. You see, we serve a God who knows how to show up in our situation and open doors. We serve a God that knows how to part the waters of the Red Sea. We serve a God this morning who shows up in the fires of life like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Listen, if there is a need in your life, God knows what that need is. We don't have to be impatient. We don't have to run out the exit door. All we have to do is wait on God and be patient. And you see, this is the process. This is the process to godliness. We've said it so many times since this pandemic and meeting by way of media that the book of James, chapter number 1, James addresses the 12 tribes of Israel that were scattered. And he says to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that you're in need of patience. He goes on and he says, let patience, in that verse, those two verses there, in chapter 1, he says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. And so James was telling them that day that you're scattered and things are, and you're being persecuted, and Stephen is dead, and all of these things are happening, but count it all joy. It's not a happy time, but just know that God is stretching your faith. Count it all joy. He's moving you toward godliness. He's causing you to be more patient. So we look at this case here when it comes to Sarah. No doubt she is a great matriarch of the faith. No doubt at 91 she bore Isaac, the promised seed. And when I think about Sarah this morning, I think about a woman of patience, but she had to learn patience, church. So the same is for all of us. Sometimes learning patience is a hard thing to learn. Sometimes it's repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. And then right when you think you've achieved and you're on your way to the next thing, the next attribute, you're back to step number 1 again. It's the exercising of patience. Peter tells the church the same thing. He says to add to our faith virtue, and he lists all of these things, and temperance is one, self-control, and then patience. Patience is another one. And Paul says in Galatians 6:9, and let us not get weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Patience. And so we see Sarah in Genesis 16. She got ahead of God, and Hagar conceived. Here is Ishmael. And now Ishmael will be a problem in the world to this day. I want you to notice something else when it comes to Sarah and her patience. She conceived at 91. She's this great matriarch. But yet she had to learn patience. But also in chapter number 16, I want you to notice in verse 16. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. I want you to notice, church, here, verse number 16 of chapter 16, that Abraham was 86 years old. Look in chapter 17 and verse number 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. It will be very easy to look over what just happened from verse number 16 to 17. But you see, from verse number 16 to 17, we see 13 silent years from God in the life of Abraham and Sarah. You see, I believe that it was through this time of getting ahead of God, it diminished their hearing of God. It definitely didn't further along their relationship with God, but God was correcting his children here. God was correcting and challenging, and He was stretching their faith and their Christian walk, Abraham and Sarah, because there was this 13 years when God didn't say nothing. Think about that. 13 years and God was silent. But look what he says in verse number 1 of chapter 17 when he does appear. When Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, number one, I am the Almighty God. The interpretation there is El Shaddai, the powerful one, the Almighty God. He says, walk before me and be thou perfect or mature. He says, I want you to move on to godliness. He says, I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God. I will be here to help you walk this walk and talk this talk. You see, I believe that God was speaking loud when he wasn't speaking at all. Chapter number 16, verse 16. And then chapter 17, verse 1. 13 silent years, but yet God was speaking. Because when he finally spoke, he said, I want you to walk before me in maturity. In other words, Abraham, Sarah, wait on me. You blew it the first time, but I'm the God of second chances, and I want to give you a second. I want to give you a second chance. Walk before me and be thou perfect or mature. I am the Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. I will help you walk it. I will help you talk it. I will help you believe in me when it seems like all belief is gone because of circumstances. The God of second chances. Don't you pray? I praise the Lord for that this morning. We serve a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. God is the one who shows up in our life and he reassures his love for us. He establishes our goings once again. And he told Abraham and Sarah here, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. In other words, I am all you need, Abraham. Sarah, when it's time for you to conceive, I will loosen your womb. I will let you know. It will happen. So, from this age here, and then we look in verse number 17, Sarah was 90 years old, and then a year later, she had Isaac. I said all that this morning to say this, church, that patience will get us to godliness. In the making of a godly mother this morning, whoever you may be, wherever you may be watching this video from, listen, God wants to move you along into godly motherhood. None of us are perfect. Everybody's made mistakes. There's mothers, I'm sure, that are watching us made mistakes. Guess what? Today's a new day. Embrace Jesus as your Savior if you're not saved. And then move on toward godliness. People in your life that like to remind you of your past, let them be the past in your life. Do not be around them anymore. Only associate with God's encouraging people who wants to move you along to maturity. So we see this in Sarah's life. We see Sarah and her process to maturity was patience. Let me mention someone else. Turn, if you would, to Genesis 25. Genesis 25. And notice in verse number 21 down through verse number 23, we see Rebekah. And Rebekah is Isaac's wife. And while we look at Sarah and her process to maturity had to do with patience, Rebekah and her process to maturity had to do with pain. All of these are kind of intertwined together, but I think of Sarah, I think of patience, I think of Rebekah, I think of pain. This was her process to maturity. Number one, she had a painful pregnancy. Look in verse number 21, Genesis 25. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. That's wonderful. Isaac wanted a son. Rebekah wanted a son. Isaac was intercessor for his wife, and because of that, Rebekah conceived. But notice verse number 22. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. We see when it comes to Rebekah that she's a great matriarch. Her name is used often. A lot of mothers in our day name their kids, their daughters Rebekah, probably after this mother, this daughter of one. But you see, when it comes to Rebekah and her matriarchhood, when it comes to Rebekah being a godly mother, her process that got her there was pain. She had a painful pregnancy. Again, verse number 21 says that Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But something interesting I want you to see in verse 22. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, If it be so, why am I thus? In other words, Lord, if you answer this prayer in my life, and I'm pregnant, shouldn't things be a lot better within me? In other words, Lord, if you really and truly answer this prayer in my life, shouldn't this be, my pregnancy be a bed of roses? Lord, if you truly, truly allow me to conceive, why am I thus? Why is there this struggle on the inside of me? That's what Rebekah could not comprehend. She could not make the connection between God doing something in her life and struggle being involved. You see, Rebekah was pregnant. This was a prayer answered. But yet struggle was involved. Pain was involved. And she just could not comprehend God answering a prayer and it be connected to struggle. Let me just say to all of us this morning that even when God does great and mighty things in our life, there will be struggle. God opens new doors, there will be struggle. God moves on your heart and moves you to a new direction, whatever it may be. Listen, there will be struggle. Of course, this online, these preachers I'm a preacher online this morning, but these TV preachers, you know, prosperity preachers, they'll have you believe if there's struggle in your life, then God, that you've missed God or there's sin in your life. That's not necessarily the case. I think about Job. There wasn't sin in his life. He wasn't perfect, but yet there was an experiment that took place. We know that story. The devil was trying to see who he can devour and allow them to turn their back on God. And Job was chosen, and Job passed the test. He didn't do wrong. He was just chosen to prove the devil wrong. And you see, Rebekah here, she finally was pregnant. But there was something going on the inside. There was a struggle on the inside of her. Church, I want to say this morning that any true born-again believer will struggle on the inside. We have an old nature, the flesh. Yet we have a new nature, the Spirit of God. There is struggle continually on the inside of us. When we go to do the things that we should do, there's struggle because the old man wants to draw back. And then there's that old man that wants to do bad, and yet the new man tries to restrain. And this was the struggle that Paul was talking about in Romans chapter number 7. And then finally he cried out and said, Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Struggle. Pain. But godliness. If you notice, in Romans 7, Paul concludes, where he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He concludes by thanking Jesus for the capacity to deal with the flesh and overcome through Jesus. And in Romans chapter number 8 and verse 1, one of the very first things Paul says, Therefore there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. He's not talking about practice. He's talking about desire. For those of us who have the desire to yield to the Spirit, those of us who have the desire to read God's Word and pray and go after godliness, that is a token that there is no condemnation on top of us. The guilt has been removed. If it's a practicing thing, what Paul talks about in Romans 8, verse number 1, that means that salvation is earned. Because if we walk after the Spirit, there's no condemnation. If we walk after the flesh, there is condemnation. No. Paul's just saying, let me get this in perspective. Chapter number 7 in Romans, I have two natures. I have an old nature, but because of the new birth, I have a new nature. He says, and I struggle, and I war. He says, I go to do good things, and this old man tries to hold me back. He says, there's days where this old man tries to run the show, and thank God for the new man. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Amen. If you go back and look into what Paul, that terminology, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul is actually giving reference to Roman punishment. Because back in those days, one form of punishment at least, was that the Romans would strap a dead man to your back, and you would be chained to him. And the things that you were to do in their view, in their hand, while you were imprisoned, you had this dead man strapped. And everywhere you would go and everything you would do, he was there. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, there's a dead man strapped to me. But then Romans 8, verse 1, it's like Paul, he shares with us the reality of the new birth. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I said all that to say this morning, that Rebecca struggled. She had an answered prayer in verse number 21 of Genesis 25. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Let me mention something in verse 23. The Lord speaks to Rebekah and says, I want you to see the bigger picture. You see, in verse number 23, and the Lord said unto her, two nations or in thy womb, two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Number one, in that second line, that second phrase, he says, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And we just spoke about that. New Testament comparison as a type here would be flesh, spirit. But also he says in verse 23, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. It's almost like God wanted her to not so much focus on the struggle as the big picture. Because he says, after she asked the Lord, why am I thus? She inquired of the Lord, verse 23, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. In other words, Rebecca, there's something bigger going on. You are feeling a contraction pain. You are feeling a pain in your body now, and your eyes are so holding on this pain, and your eyes are so holding on this dilemma in your life of this struggle you feel. But Rebecca, it's much bigger than that. There are two nations in your bowels. In your bowels, the Bible says. In your womb, there are two nations in your womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. Church, listen. You may be struggling this morning. Mother, you may be struggling this morning. Father, Christian individual, you may be struggling this morning. Going after God. Trying to follow Him. But I want to say there is a much bigger picture taking place. He's moving you along to maturity. He's moving you along to your purpose. He told Rebecca there's a bigger picture. Two nations are in your bowels. Don't get caught up with what you feel right now. Focus on the future. Amen. For the Christian this morning, you got pain in your life. It's hard for you to go to sleep at night. There's things taking place in your life. Listen, don't get caught up so much on how you feel. Just know this morning that God has a future and a hope for you. Amen. That's what he says in verse number 23. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. You see, it's so easy this morning, isn't it? I mean, it's just so easy this morning to feel that struggle, to not want to get out of bed, not want to deal with people, not want to go into the community and even do simple things, grocery store, any of that. But see, there comes a point in time, if we want to move toward maturity and godliness, then we have to not go on our feelings, but go on our faith. Something else here. Not only she had a painful pregnancy, but she had painful parenting years. As a parent, she had some painful years. Rebecca did. Number one, she was partial with her kids. I want you to notice in verse number 27, and the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Look at this in verse 28. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. We see this as a trending thing in the Bible. We know that Joseph, when Joseph came along, he was the son who had the coat of many colors. There was partiality in parenting there. But in this particular account, possibly we see that Isaac in verse 28, it was said that he loved Esau and he gravitated toward Esau because that he was of his venison. He was a hunter. He was a man's man, so to speak, Esau was. And so, because Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Jacob was a houseman. He was at least in the very beginning, he was a tender man. In fact, he was the one that was cooking this pottage. And Esau came in from hunting, and he made Esau sell his birthright for a pot of stew. But you see, we see here that Rebecca was partial toward Jacob. And even when we follow this story out, we find out that there was a time when Isaac's eyesight was going dim. And he couldn't see all that well. And he was to pray and lay the blessing over the firstborn, which was Esau. But you see, Esau sold his birthright for a pot of beef stew, so to speak. And now Jacob was going to receive that blessing, but his mother helped him deceive his father. There was deception here. There were some painful parenting years where there was partiality. And it was within these years, in this specific situation, where basically she helped paste on hair on the arms of Jacob. And Isaac's eyesight was going dim, and he was ready to pray a blessing over the firstborn. And here goes Jacob. He slips his hand right underneath that hand. Oh, I'm here. Oh, it's me. It's Esau. You see, this was the process, though. There were some things encountered when it came to the way that Isaac and Rebecca did their parenting. And while Isaac was partial to Esau, we see that Rebecca was partial toward Jacob. And there was a time where Esau and Jacob didn't talk. It was because of the mother. It was the mother, the one, it was this Rebecca. She sided with Jacob and for whatever reason, and she allowed him to help him dress up as Esau, got the blessing. And because of what this mother did, there was contention between Esau and Jacob for years. I want to say something this morning. If you follow this story out, as much as I have read and looked, I stand corrected if I've left something out or I'm not absolute on something. Eventually, Esau and Jacob united. Esau forgave Jacob. Church, let us remember, family and friends that's watching, let us remember, ain't none of us, and I know ain't a word, but I am going to say it, ain't none of us perfect, and we're all deserving of forgiveness this morning. Esau eventually forgave Jacob. Jacob was scared. Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord till daybreak. He said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. He said, I'll bless you real good and knocked his hip out of joint. In other words, from that prayer time and wrestling with the Lord, he was never to be the same again. He got in touch with God. And the very next day, or time after that, him and his brother met, and Esau showed compassion, being like the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were brothers again. Now, what about Rebecca in this? Well, I do know that eventually she died in a good old age. And some say that she was buried near Canaan or in Canaan at Mamre in a cave. But regardless, those brothers united. And I kind of tend to believe that Rebecca was aware of this, and that she died at a good old age. You see, her process to maturity, she is a household name. People name their daughters after Rebecca and Sarah. But Rebecca this morning, the course that she took, her process to maturity was pain. She had a painful pregnancy. She had painful parenting years. Yes, she died when she was in her 100s. And she was buried in a cave. She was placed in the cave of Mamre. Her son's made up. And so sometimes in life there's this painful process, and it involves pain. Let me mention one more thing and we'll be through. The making of a godly mother is the subject this morning, but not all inclusive to that. It's for anyone. We see Sarah and we see her patience. She had need of patience. We see Rebecca in her pain. But then lastly, turn if you would to Luke chapter number 1. We see Mary in her purpose. Mary in her purpose. Mary, the mother of Jesus, she had a purpose, and that was to deliver Jesus out of a virgin womb. And we all know that Jesus, at the right age, he understood his calling, and he went into his public ministry around the age of 30. For 33 and a half years, he fulfilled that ministry. He went to the cross, gave his life, buried, and was raised again the third day. And you see, we look at Mary. She's the mother of Jesus. She's not to be worshipped above Jesus. We know that. Jesus is our Savior. But this morning, Mary is a matriarch. Mary is one that's highly esteemed. And how did Mary get there? She got there, her process to maturity had to do with purpose, and that is she embraced her purpose. Church, this morning, know that the quickest way to maturity, to be like Jesus, to progress rapidly in your Christian life, is to embrace your purpose. In Luke chapter number 1, I want you to notice in verse 26, we see that Mary was visited by an angel called Gabriel. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And so we see that she was visited by Gabriel the angel. And not only that, but in verse number 30, I want you to notice, down through verse number 33, we see the angel's message. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Let me just say this to clarify, that Gabriel just sent the word, and we're fully aware that Jesus himself, through the Holy Spirit, was impregnated inside of Mary, impregnated Mary through a virgin womb. But now, in verse number 30, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lordship, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." And then in verse number 33, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." We see that Mary not only was visited by this angel Gabriel, and he had an audible message. He had this message for Mary that she indeed was impregnated by the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Trinity, and then his name would be called Emmanuel. God is with us. Jesus. But not only that, we see the message, the angel's message in verse 30 through 33. But I want you to notice at Mary's wrestle in verse number 34. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" We see that Mary had a moment of wrestle. There's nothing wrong with wrestling. In fact, wrestling proves the Christian's new nature. We wrestle with God because we want God's best. We wrestle with the Lord because we're trying to work out situations. We're wrestling with God because we want His best in our life. Sometimes we wrestle with God because we're not doing the right thing. But the Bible says here that "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She was trying to make sense out of it all. This was her process. And there was a moment of struggle here. She was trying to make sense of how in the world she can be pregnant when she knew not a man. Her and Joseph hadn't had intimacy yet. How could this be? There was this wrestle here. Notice, if you would, in verse 35. "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." That's a whole nother message. "For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." We see Mary ultimately embraced her purpose. We know that later on that the angel visited Joseph, and they were to hurry along and move along. And so they were on the run for a while. And we know finally she gave birth at the place that was prophesied. And then later on that Mary had to give over her son to the smiters, those who crucified him or punished him, then crucified him. But you see, all of this points to Mary understanding her purpose. I want to ask a question as we bring it to a close in just a moment. What would have happened if Mary did not embrace her purpose? Verse 34 says, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" What if verse number 38 was not there? Or what if it said instead of, "And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word," the angel departed from her. What would have happened if it would have said, "And Mary had a deaf ear toward this angel and just ran the opposite way"? I believe Jesus would have still came. But you see, the problem would be she would be running from her purpose, which would have slowed down her progression to matriarchhood. And I want to say to everyone this morning, not just mothers, that the quickest way to godliness is fulfilling your purpose, but the quickest way to stop your growth and to go in the opposite direction of the Lord is to not fulfill your purpose. There may be someone this morning who knows that God has called them to do something, but for some reason or the other, they haven't done what Mary did. Mary said in verse 38, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Maybe there's someone out there this morning who knows their purpose, but for some reason or the other, you're choosing not to fulfill that purpose. And all of this chaos is taking place in your life. And you may be saying this morning, "The devil is ruining my life." Could it be this morning that the devil's a million miles away from you, and it's just that you're not submissive to the will of God, and that's the problem in your life? We all wrestle with this at times. I just got to thinking about Mary. What if she wasn't submissive? Jesus would have still came, but she would be living a rough life, living contrary to the will of God for her life, being this submissive servant. She said in verse 38, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." The word handmaid means female slave. Mary says, "I'm your handmaid, Lord. I'm your servant. I'm here to serve you. Lord, I surrender to your purpose for my life." Was it easy? No, it wasn't easy. But it was a whole lot better than what it says in the book of Acts. What Paul did was kick against the pricks. You're here this morning. You're listening this morning. You're watching this morning. Embrace your purpose. Whatever that purpose is. Your number one purpose is to be saved, to know Jesus personally. But then number two is service. Whatever that is, that's between you and the Lord. But whatever the case is, whatever the situation may be, however God has spoke to your heart, I trust you'll do business with Him this morning. The making of a godly mother. We've seen Sarah in her patience, Rebecca in her pain, but Mary in her purpose. Heavenly Father, we take a moment and say thank you for the truth of your word, Lord. We've done our very best to try to be a help this morning. I pray that something was said that would further along some heart, some soul this morning. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here that's not saved, someone that is viewing that does not know you personally, and if they were to die right where they stand or sit without any assurance, the truth is they would go to hell because that's what the Bible says. But Lord, let them be sure today. Let them embrace Jesus as their personal Savior. And the moment that happens, we know that there is an assurance in place. We know we're the sons of God. Father, I pray for the Christian that may be struggling this morning, that you would be with them and move them along in your purpose. Let them be submissive. And God, just let them know, let all of us know, that this is a marathon, not a sprint. To be easy on one another, long-suffering, to be merciful and gracious. That's how Jesus is. And for everybody else, I pray that you would be helped in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. We do like we always do. We like to give a virtual invitation, and so we're going to let the music play for just a moment and just let you marinate on that. And then and we'll officially close out in just a second. Right where you're at, you can do business with the Lord. You can be the mother that you want to be, the father that you want to be, the Christian individual that you desire to be. You can do that. He is the Almighty God, El Shaddai. He will help you. And again, if there's someone that doesn't know Jesus, as simple as ABC. A, admit you're a sinner. And let me just say that we don't ask God to forgive us of our sins per se. We ask God to forgive us a sinner. Sins are the fruit. The sinner is the root. We need to be forgiven as a person. Someone may be out there that needs to get saved. A, admit you're a sinner. B, believe in your heart that Jesus died for you, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And then C, confess. Confess. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. And then Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whatever the need is, you can do business with the Lord. Amen. We'll go ahead and conclude the service. And I want to say thank you for watching, and thank you for inviting friends and family if you have. Been a joy this morning preaching on Mother's Day. And happy Mother's Day again to all you mothers out there. You are the unsung hero. You're the heart of the home. And all of us men are better because of you. No service tonight. Spend time with your mother, your wife. Just have a good day today. Enjoy God's blessings. And good Lord willing, we'll be airing again on Wednesday night from our home. We love you.